And you know, oftentimes God's people want the burden to be lifted. They want the weight to be removed. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting the weight to be lifted and the burden to be removed. And you can pray to that end. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, that while it's there, you need to learn how to worship God. Man, wouldn't it be a testimony, wouldn't it be a blessing for you to come out on this other side, whatever it is, as they say, on the other side of through, that when you come through on the other side, that you can look back and say, my soul looks back on how I got over.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Called to Suffer, Part 4. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Called to Suffer, Part 4.
We've been dealing with a series on suffering, and we've actually handled the first two parts of the series. We have been looking at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, where Peter says that you have been called to suffer. And we've been dealing with this doctrine of suffering, a doctrine that a whole lot of people don't want to hear about these days. But yet and still, we find that at some point in time in our life, that suffering will touch us. No matter if it's the death of a loved one, whether it's the destruction of a relationship, whether it's being criticized on the job, at some point, suffering will touch your life. And so over the last couple of weeks, we've been kind of dealing with the dynamics of suffering. And this week and next week, we want to conclude with dealing, how do you come through suffering? How do you come through it? When you find yourself in a place where you're suffering, when you find yourself dealing with issues that seem to be running you in the ground, how do you deal with those situations as you go through them? There is a basic training course that soldiers go through, and they are reminded of two simple things when they go through this basic training course. The first one is, and you know, and I think this might be good for God's people too, to know this, so you might want to write this down. The basic training of the Christian life. Number one is that you will suffer. No doubt about it. I mean, once again, we know that there's a lot of pie-in-the-sky preaching going on today, but you will suffer. That is a fact of life. So number one, you might as well go ahead and resign yourself to the fact that you will suffer. As Pastor Glaze always says, you're either going through a trial, you just got out of a trial, or you're getting ready to go into one. So you will suffer. Now, the second point is very important, and that is there is a right way and a wrong way to deal with suffering. There is a right way and a wrong way to deal with suffering. If you deal with it the wrong way, it's only going to increase your suffering. If you deal with it the right way, you can overcome your suffering a lot easier. So we want to keep that in mind. And so that's where we're headed the next 2 weeks. We are headed with this whole idea of giving you the right way to be able to deal with suffering. And as we begin today, there is a song that was written, and the song was entitled Through It All. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. You think the songwriter here was indicating that there's a right way and a wrong way to handle trials, to handle suffering? He said that my trials come to only make me strong. And some people don't allow their suffering. They don't allow their trials to make them strong. They allow their trials and suffering to run them in the ground. And then the chorus of the song goes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. And that's the title of our message today as we look at this idea of being called to suffer. The title of the message today is Through It All. Through it all, that when you go through the suffering, how will you handle it? Through it all. Through it all. Through it all, you've got to reach up. Through it all, you've got to reach after. Through it all, you've got to reach in, and through it all, you've got to reach out. What does that mean? First of all, in order for you to make it through it all, that you've got to reach up. So you've got to reach up to God in worship. In your time of suffering, let it be a time of worship. Don't let it be a time of belly aching and moaning and groaning and complaining, even though we know that it's hard and it's difficult. Make it a time of worship. Man, this is something that God's people need to realize, that God sometimes allows troubles to come into our lives. We don't want to hear that now, but we already saw it. We already showed you that a couple of weeks ago, that God says in his word that it's his will for some people to suffer. We see that God calls people to suffer. And so suffering is a part of life. And through it all, you need to learn how to worship God. I heard the legend about a grandfather clock. And this grandfather clock had worked for years and years and years. And it had a weight attached to one of the hands on the clock. And somebody came and they saw the clock moving, and they felt that if they took the weight off of the clock, that the clock could function a lot better. And so this man came and he took the weight off of the clock. And as soon as he took the weight off of the clock stopped working. And the clock said, "Why did you take the weight off?" And he said, "Because I wanted to make your job a little bit easier." He said, "You didn't make my job easier." He said, the thing that kept me going was the resistance that I had. The thing that kept me going was the weight that was attached to my hand. And you have destroyed me by removing the weight." And you know, oftentimes God's people want the burden to be lifted. They want the weight to be removed. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting the weight to be lifted and the burden to be removed. And you can pray to that end. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, that while it's there, you need to learn how to worship God. Man, wouldn't it be a testimony? Wouldn't it be a blessing for you to come out on this other side? Whatever it is, as they say, on the other side of through, that when you come through on the other side, that you can look back and say, "My soul looks back and wonder how I got over. That I was able to praise God through the whole way. Yeah, there was times when I was low. There was times when I was discouraged. But there was but through it all, I learned how to worship God in the midst of it." Turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And we spent a couple weeks ago, we spent a whole sermon just dealing with Job. And let me remind you real quick of some of those things that we learned about Job that we said about him. We said that Job suffered in many areas. He suffered financially. He lost his livestock and his servants. He suffered in the area of his family. He lost his sons and daughters. And he also received opposition from his spouse. He suffered spiritually. There was some distance from God. He suffered physically. He had boils all over his body. He had open sores and the worms were eating his flesh. He had weight loss. He had red eyes. He had sleepless nights. His skin was peeling and he had high fever. He suffered emotionally. He had nightmares every night. So Job was in a bad state. He was in a pretty bad situation. But look in the midst of all that Job was dealing with, it says in verse 20, "Then Job arose and tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down and worshiped." In the midst of all that, boils, loss of children, loss of finances, loss of servants, opposition from spouse, distance from God, all the physical problems that he had, the scripture says that Job fell down and worshiped. Through it all, you've got to reach out. Through it all, you've got to worship God. Verse 21, and he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." If you look at your notes this morning, we'll see that Job did three things as he worshiped God. The first thing we see is that Job expressed his grief. The second thing, Job mourned his loss. And then the third thing, Job fell to the ground and he worshiped God. The first thing we see in Job chapter 1 and verse 20, then Job arose and tore his mantle. His mantle was his robe. And so in the midst of his grief, Job just takes his hands and he tears his robe open. And this was an expression of the pain that was down in his soul. And Job was ripping his robe to open himself up to say, God, can't you see that I'm hurting? That is worship, my brothers and sisters. Whether you see, when you come and complain to your husband, or you complain to your wife, or you complain to your doctor, that's not worship. That's complaining. That's telling them what's wrong with you. All right? But when you in grief, you rip your clothes. I'm not saying for you to do this literally now, but if you are going through a time of suffering, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's a bad relationship, whatever it might be, that when you come to that time of suffering, if you just do like Job did, he just said, God, can't you see that I'm hurting here? See, he turned it into a prayer. He openly expressed his grief. Now, as far as I see, and I might be wrong as I read this text here, there was nobody else around. I don't see anybody else around. So what good is it going to do? See, sometimes we want to do things for show. We want to do things because other people can see us. Well, if I walk around all sad and a long face, then people will see that I'm hurting, and maybe somebody will feel sorry for me. Well, see, there was nobody here. Job ripped his robe open to express his grief unto God. And that's worship. Oh, my brothers, you might think, but that's worship. When you cry out to God out of your anguish, and you cry out to God out of your pain, when you cry out to God in the midst of your suffering, you know what you're doing? That's worshiping. Because you see what a lot of people might do? They might turn to the bottle. They might turn to the crack pipe. They might turn to some illicit relationship. And so instead of turning to God, they're turning everywhere else but to the one who can help them. So when you get in the midst of your grief, man, you got to express your pain to God. Job mourned his loss. Look what it said here. And Job arose and tore his mantle and shaved his head. When you shaved your head, a lot of times in the scripture, that was a sign of mourning. That was a sign that you were grieving the loss of something in your life. And what better way to grieve the loss than to get before God and grieve it before him? What better way to go through that situation than in the presence of God? You know, a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, but I know a couple of times I've taken my granddaughter to the movie, and we've gone to see Shrek 2, and we've gone to see the Polar Express. And you know, as we go to the movie, and as we go in, you know, I'm holding her hand because I got an eye on her. And then we sit down in the seat, and you know, she might be there watching a movie, and I might be watching a movie, but guess what? I got an eye on her, because I want to make sure that everything is all right. And when we get up and leave, guess what? I got an eye on her. And isn't it good to know that when we're in the midst of our suffering, that there's somebody there who has an eye on us? That there's somebody there in the midst of our hurt, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our crying out, that you are just not sitting in a bedroom somewhere, that you are not just sitting in your living room somewhere crying crocodile tears and nobody is listening, but there's somebody there who's got an eye on you and know that you're hurting and you know that it's being heard. Job mourned his situation, but Job didn't stop there, because it went on to say in the midst of his suffering that, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The first thing that we see as we look at this idea of worship, Job fell on the ground. He fell on the ground and lied prostrate in the presence of the Lord. realizing that, as a songwriter said, Lord, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, where shall I go? See, Job, in the midst of his suffering, worshiped God. He stretched out and became prostrate on the floor as he worshiped God. And then you know what he did? He recognized who God was. He said, look, naked came I into this world, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. He realized where his provisions have come from. He realized that had not God wanted him to be in that place, that he wouldn't have been there. Now, as we go on and read, we saw that Job has some struggles with some things. But in this situation right here, Job is saying, look, God, he said, naked I came into the world, and naked I'm going to leave. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. God gives. He realized who was his provider. He realized who was the sovereign. He realized who was the one that was going to see him through that situation. But once again, we get in our situation. Now, look all that Job had lost. Job was a rich man. Job was so rich that the scripture says that he washed his steps with butter. You got to have some money. Especially after you walk down them and you got to pay the hospital bill. But that's how rich Job was. So Job had big money, and he lost everything. But notice here, Job didn't focus on what he lost. He said, hey, it wasn't mine anyways. He said, it all belonged to God. And see, when we begin to hold on to things in this life, then that's when the suffering is more intense for us, because it's more painful when those things are taken away. But Job knew that all he had came from God, because in chapter 1, verse 1, it said that Job feared God, and he turned away from evil. Helen Keller said this. Helen Keller said that every adult would be blind and be deaf for at least 2 weeks of their life. And you would really begin to appreciate all the things that you do have. You would begin to appreciate. See, sometimes we complain about all these little things that we don't have instead of coming and thanking God for the things that we do have. Man, you've been so blessed. And you know, I'm not even going to talk about spiritual. I'm not even going to talk about spiritual. You know, the man that complained about his shoes until he saw the person who had no feet. I'm not going to talk about all that you do have. Job focused on, he didn't focus on what he lost. He focused on what God had blessed him with. He focused on God. And then he concludes by saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. He praised God in the midst of all his situation. Where are you at? When you hit your hard times, when you hit your most difficult times in life, are you praising God? Are you still acknowledging that God is on the throne? Or is it bitterness, bitterness in your heart? Do you go through it complaining? Oh, my brothers and sisters, we need to learn how to worship through suffering. Would to God that we all learn the lesson of Job and learn how in the midst of going through hard times that we can still worship God. I tell you what, it would make things a lot easier. You know, as I said earlier, two lessons that they teach the soldiers in basic training. Number one, that you will suffer. Number two, that how you handle your suffering will depend upon how you come out. If you handle it the wrong way, guess what? Guess what? If you handle it the wrong way, you're going to be in it a lot longer than you should. If you handle it the right way, you're going to come out of it a lot easier than the average person will. Through it all, you've got to reach up. Reach up to worship God. Secondly, through it all, you've got to reach after. Reach after what? Reach after the example that Christ set. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And put your finger there and just turn back one page real quick. Maybe some of you, it might not be one page, but to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." Christ left us an example on how to suffer. So if we're going to come through suffering successfully, we've got to look at Christ. And we've got to look at the example that he set. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." He said, as Christ has suffered for you in the flesh, that you've got to arm yourself with the same mind. Look at the notes. Peter encouraged believers to arm themselves with Christ's attitude concerning suffering. The word for arm yourselves is the Greek word hoposlese, and was used of a soldier who put on his armor. Believers are to take great care in arming themselves to do battle against suffering by following Christ's example. Notice what he said here. He said, arm yourself. Arm yourself. In Ephesians chapter 6, what did Paul say? Put on the whole armor of God. So what is he telling us? This is what he's telling us. Somebody hear this morning. That when you suffer, you're in a battle. Yeah. You are in a battle. That anytime you go through suffering, you are in a battle. And so what does he say that you should do in the midst of the battle? He says that you've got to arm yourself. That you've got to realize that, hey, I'm in a battle here, and I better put on some armor. I better put on some things where I can do battle with. That every day when I get up, you know what? There's an enemy that's waiting to take me down. There's an enemy in this suffering that's willing to take me out. And when you get up, you got to see it. But see, if you get up murmuring and you get up complaining and you get up with a bad attitude about it, guess what? You've lost from Jump Street. You're behind the eight ball from Jump Street. But what you've got to do is that you've got to, man, Lord, I'm in a battle today. Lord, when I get up, this thing that I'm going through, Lord, maybe I've lost a loved one. And you know what? It hurts not to have my loved one here anymore. Lord, every time I think about not having my loved one here, it hurts. Well, you know what that means? That means that you're in a battle. Plain and simple, that you're in a battle from that point on. Now, the thing is, how are you going to come through that battle? If you don't arm yourself, then you're going to fall. If you don't arm yourself, then you're going to lose. It says, arm yourself with the same mind that Christ had when he suffered. Isn't it good to know you have an example? Isn't it good to know that you had somebody who broke this ground before you that you can follow after? He said, follow Christ's example. And let me say two things, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to the scriptures. They're there in the notes for you. The first thing that we see in Hebrews 12, 2, that Christ didn't give up. That he didn't give up. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind be in you. And then he goes, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us. You know what it said? It said that he endured.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Called to Suffer, Part 4. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Called to Suffer, Part 4, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 4. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 4. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.